What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You do want quick time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just count to three and I'll start the quick time recording.
One, two, three.
All right. I'm ready.
Cool. Hi, welcome to the Katie Halper Show. I'm your host, Katie Halper. So excited about today's episode. It's a really good one. It's about Russiagate, and we bring you a really important voice and a voice that you don't hear many other places. Max Blumenthal, co-host of the podcast Moderate Rebels, which he co-hosts with Ben Norton. He is an author and journalist. He's the author of two books, Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party, and Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel. You can find his work on The Real News and at The Gray Zone. You can hear The Katie Halper Show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on WBAI, that's 99.5 FM, or WBAI.org. Find us on iTunes, rate and review us there, find us on SoundCloud, find us on Facebook. To hear the rest of my interview with Max, please become Patreon supporters, and to do that, just go to patreon.com/TheKatieHalperShow. Again, that's patreon.com/TheKatieHalperShow. Also, become Patreon supporters so that you can access our show notes, which links to great articles related to this topic. To be talking to good friend of the show, the irascible, irritatable, otherwise known as irritable, very smart journalist, Max Blumenthal. Thanks for talking to us.
Good to be back.
Yeah. Max, tell us what is happening with Russiagate. What is your hot take? And what do you have to say to people who are now saying that, you know what, I was a skeptic, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's true what people have been saying about Russia. This is an illegitimate election. This election was determined by Russian interference.
Well, that's a huge question. I don't know if we have time to cover all the bases, but I mean, I'm really shocked by the reaction to Mueller's indictment by MSDNC and the kind of fake resistance that's emanated out of the democratic establishment. The indictment shows that there was a Russian troll farm, a private troll farm run by a glorified hot dog salesman named Yevgeny Prigozhin.
He's one of Russia's richest and most powerful oligarchs. And now the U.S. special prosecutor says Yevgeny Prigozhin was deeply connected to the Russian campaign to sway the 2016 election for President Trump. Why the nickname the Chef? Prigozhin, who reportedly served jail time for robbery, started off selling hot dogs, according to his own account. He went on to run a catering company servicing schools, the military, the Kremlin, and dinners for visiting U.S. presidents. The U.S. indictment says Putin's so-called chef also handles the Kremlin's under-the-table operations, including a disinformation factory, the Internet Research Agency, that fed social media during the campaign. Twitter, Google, and Facebook all say the disinformation campaign, the indictment linked to Prigozhin, was a source of divisive postings about race, gun rights, and religion, often through stolen identities. A so-called chef who critics say doesn't mind getting his hands dirty so the Kremlin can keep its hands clean.
There was a private troll farm run by Yevgeny Prigozhin that spent about $100,000 on Facebook and Twitter ads that had, you know, this were somewhat commercially driven, and Mueller's indictment even indicates that the ads were commercially driven. But
what does that mean, commercially driven?
In other words, they would set up these Facebook groups under false premises. I mean, it was being set up out of a St. Petersburg troll farm that actually Prigozhin set up in the late 90s to beat back against negative PR because parents in St. Petersburg didn't like the bad hot dogs and American-style junk food that he had contracts to serve in their school cafeterias. But in any case, they would set up these Facebook groups around all kinds of issues. Some of them were like Second Amendment pro-gun Facebook groups. Some of them pushed anti-Muslim messages. One, United Muslims of America, pushed pro-Muslim, anti-Islamophobia messaging. Some were anti-Hillary Clinton. Some were, you know, just against American Empire, and some there was a coloring book that was sold that was called the Buff Bernie coloring book, and it was an LGBT themed coloring book.
I want one of those.
You know, which clearly did like deep damage to Hillary Clinton in the primary. I mean, this is the real reason why Bernie Sanders won in Michigan.
Right.
There were rallies that this troll farm, the Internet Research Agency, attempted to set up, and most of them never happened. The few ones that did, 8 people or less showed up. Basically, according to Facebook data, 56% of Internet Research Agency ads that were investigated by the House and Senate Intelligence Committee that were discovered were published after the election. And 25% of those ads were seen by no one. So 81% of all ads of those, that $100,000 of ads, which is a drop in the bucket compared to billions spent on, you know, spent by both the Trump and Clinton campaigns, 81% of those ads had absolutely zero impact at all during the election. We saw Peter Baker, the chief White House correspondent at the New York Times, state that the Internet Research Agency focused its efforts in purple states and swing states, but actually only $1,000 was spent on Facebook ads targeting Wisconsin and Michigan, the two key swing states of the election.
Right.
It might have been $1,000 more than Hillary Clinton spent in those states because she just decided not to visit them and ran, you know, one of the worst campaigns I've ever witnessed in my life.
Wait, Max, I'm going to stop you right there because I don't allow misogyny and racism on my show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was, you know, anti-intersectional.
Exactly. It was triggering. I love the way that the idea is that Hillary somehow is black. But anyway, sorry, keep going. So they spent $1,000, which is $1,000 more than Hillary spent in Michigan and Wisconsin. Definitely Wisconsin, yeah.
So basically, I mean, what I'm painting a picture of basically a pathetic little silly operation that had absolutely zero impact on the election at all. And, you know, it deserves some coverage. Adrian Chen in 2015 did a piece, I think, for The New Yorker on this troll farm. He visited it. We've known about it for a long time. It was in October when the Senate Intelligence Committee, led with really being pushed by the Democrat co-chair Mark Warner, revealed the existence of all these Facebook ads. So we've known about this for a long time as well, and I've just been mocking it the whole time because the whole Russiagate narrative started with hacking, you know, hacking of the DNC emails, hacking of John Podesta's account, although his account wasn't hacked; it was a phishing scam.
What's the difference, by the way?
Well, like somebody reached out to John Podesta and said, you know, you need to reset your password. And then he went to the DNC's chief security, cybersecurity person and said, this doesn't seem like a real email. Should I answer this? And the person said, you should absolutely provide your password. So Podesta, after doing the right thing and consulting with the brilliant cybersecurity team of the DNC, you know, was told, give him your password. So he gave him their password, which was password one. That was his password.
Almost didn't need to ask him. Hacking is a more aggressive, more sophisticated thing than just a phishing scam, right?
Absolutely. I mean, phishing scams are very common. Right. And, you know, I receive them all the time. I get emails that claim to be from Bank of America or something telling me to reset my password. And what they want is basically access to my bank account. And so then we gained access to Podesta's emails, which I thought were really useful in seeing that how Hillary Clinton had surrounded herself with these hovercraft elites who were going to, you know, shoes off parties with investors at Martha's Vineyard and then flying to Davos. And it was like this comic book joke of the lifestyles of the rich and delusional and completely out of touch who've just, you know, gotten rich off of contracts, like the contract with Viktor Yanukovych's Party of Regions, which is the same contract that Paul Manafort enjoyed, which he's being indicted for. Mm. I'm going deep into the rabbit hole here, but my point is that we started out talking about hacking. Those allegations remain unproven, but they're accepted on faith by a consensus of liberal Democrats and centrists and the whole political establishment. And now we're talking, but now we've moved from hacking, which is serious business. I mean, if there was a Russian intelligence operation to hack the DNC, then it should be investigated. And it's unfortunate that the FBI has not yet obtained the DNC email servers to investigate this. But now we're talking about a troll farm that's taken out Buff Bernie LGBT themed coloring book ads, and, you know, set up groups for people who love puppies and all sorts of affinity groups, and had zero impact on the election. And the reaction from the MSDNC crowd and the whole mainstream media, I mean, you can turn on NPR. And, you know, in the soft NPR Scott Simon voice, you're just going to hear that this swung the election. A CNN poll that was taken late last year showed that 82% of Democrats believe that these Facebook ads played a decisive role in electing Donald Trump. And, you know, it's not really hurting Trump, this whole narrative, as far as I can tell. But it's the bigger picture is it's hurting the world, because if you are anti-war, if you believe in world peace, there has to be detente between the U.S. and Russia. They're the two major nuclear superpowers. They have to cooperate on de-escalation in Syria. There's a proxy war in Ukraine that's being driven right now by this Cold War narrative. You know, I wrote in the Real News about how the U.S. is directly arming neo-Nazi affiliates of the Ukrainian military in eastern Ukraine, like the Azov Battalion. I mean, this is and so, you know, the kind of partisan narrative loses sight of the big picture, which is that we have entered a new Cold War. In a Cold War, whether it's the old Cold War or the new one, the most militaristic voices and elements in America will be emboldened, and the progressive left is going to be marginalized by design. And so we're seeing that scenario play out as well through the Mueller indictment, because it not only claims that this Russian troll farm sought to interfere on behalf of Donald Trump, but also Bernie Sanders. I mean, it fits perfectly with the Clintonite establishment narrative. And it also implicates Black Lives Matter as a kind of Russian tool. So And remember, Black Lives Matter was a serious problem for Hillary Clinton during the primary and even afterwards, interrupting her events and just calling her out for her role in you know, gutting welfare, calling young black men super predators, etc.
We've got somebody saying here, we have to apologize for mass incarceration.
There's a lot of issues
in this campaign. The very first speech that I gave back in April was about criminal justice reform
and about predators.
You're being rude.
That's not appropriate.
This
is not appropriate.
That's rude.
Yeah, you want to hear the facts and you just want to talk.
I know that you called black youth predators.
It almost seems like this indictment was designed to reinforce the Clintonite narrative and destroy Bernie Sanders' movement before the 2020 campaign even begins. And I've been saying from the beginning, Russiagate will blow back on the kind of liberal left that's been pushing it as a way of getting at Trump. And now it's happening. It's happening right before our eyes. And people really need to recognize what it is, even if they, you know, maybe played into it a little bit before. It's time to recognize the danger of it and to actually speak out.
My question is always this, and maybe you know this. What does the hashtag resistance, the one that's pushing the Russia is responsible for the elections, for the election results, what do they want to have happen? Is there fantasy that this will result in Trump's impeachment, then he'll step down, and then Mike Pence will take over, and then under Mike Pence, we will fight Vladimir Putin? What is their end game? Do they want Donald Trump to be the commander in chief?
Yeah, that's a great question. They never talk about it. We can call them, you know, the Pence 2018 campaign.
Yeah.
They're basically the Democrats for Pence.
Yeah.
Who actually, I think, you know, is arguably a more dangerous figure than Trump and someone who's much more committed to the Christian right.
Right. And much more of an ideologue.
So what's their agenda beyond Trump? They've been sold in a lot of ways on the imminence of impeachment. They really, truly believe that Trump is an illegitimate president. They can't understand how he was elected. They don't accept that Hillary Clinton not only ran an extremely poor campaign, but set herself up for defeat through the legacy of Bill Clinton and her ownership of that legacy.
Right.
The end of the 1990s, after two terms of my husband's presidency, the unemployment rate in Michigan was 4.4%.
NAFTA, you know, it's destroyed, just gutted the heartland of its jobs. It costs like New Hampshire. You have to win New Hampshire. It costs New Hampshire 35,000 jobs alone.
I was on a picket line in the early 1990s against NAFTA.
You know, Glass-Steagall, which set the stage for the foreclosure crisis. The Iraqi Liberation Act, which put $97 million into the hands of the Iraqi National Congress of Ahmed Chalabi, and the sanctions that set the stage for the invasion of Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these, this whole path, this neoliberal and arguably neoconservative path that Bill Clinton set into motion has been so destructive for this country, and Hillary Clinton took ownership of it all. And now Russiagate comes along to basically hollow out all left opposition to the establishment. Anyone who resists can be accused of echoing Kremlin talking points. And
right.
then beyond that, you're witnessing a massive defense buildup. The National Defense Authorization Act, which pays for the military, is a record budget-busting $700 billion. And it's going to be increased next year supplement what the U.S. is doing in Syria, for example, where we now have 8 military bases we didn't have before. These are permanent U.S. military bases, and they're there to ramp up conflict with Iran and Russia. Barack Obama had resisted arming the Ukrainian military, and Trump, under pressure from Russiagate, has rearmed the Ukrainian military with advanced anti-tank weapons. So all of this is happening as a result of Russiagate. And then in our world, we're being deplatformed. Anti-war people on the left, naturally skeptical of this whole narrative, are just being completely deplatformed, even from programs like Democracy Now,
wow.
which is just completely playing along with this, has completely surrendered any principle or any integrity, any claim to being, you know, a left-wing alternative to the rulers. along, and the Young Turks, the same thing.
Yeah.
Who are they staffing up with? You know, bright, fresh, young talent like Dan Rather. I mean, it's a joke.
Giving him a chance.
Our culture is being just completely overwhelmed by the intelligence community, which I don't even think is a really accurate term. I don't see much intelligence or community there.
It's an ironic name.
Yeah, unintentionally ironic. Right,
exactly,
but
yeah.
And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain.
Who's CNN hiring as contributors? James Clapper, you know, former national director of intelligence who lied before Congress about mass surveillance. Michael Hayden, another really malicious figure who comes out of the CIA. Jeremy Bash, former CIA chief of staff, is a contributor at MSNBC. An CIA official, Philip Mudd, is a constant voice on CNN. The movie Black Panther, which everyone's raving about, or one of the heroes is a CIA agent. Mm. I don't know how that got in there.
Wow.
You have the only African-American personality with a constant presence on MSNBC, Joy Reid, declaring that the Soviet Union was terrible for black people, basically right. Stomping on the graves of Paul Robeson, W.E.B. Du Bois, and Patrice Lumumba, and Fred yeah. Hampton. I mean, yeah. People whose lives were destroyed by the U.S. government because they were black socialists.
Yeah.
I mean, this
and
whole
communists.
Atmosphere is just so overwhelmingly Russia, rancid
Russia,
to me.
Russia of whether or not Russia had help, whether they had Confederates inside the Trump campaign when they launched this attack. But every day I leave my show and I think I'm going to be talking about something else. But every day over the course of the news cycle, a new piece of it falls in place. This is not part of American politics. This is not, partisan warfare between Republicans and Democrats. This is international warfare against our country.
It is shocking that no one has stood up to it yet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen one Russiagate skeptic on MSNBC, not one.
Yeah.
Not one person on Chris Hayes' show, on any of these shows, has stood up to this.
Yeah, it's you, Aaron Maté.
Okay, and I guess I'll just say, I think we're conflating the fact that Putin is not a nice person, that he does not like Hillary Clinton. He loathes the U.S. for many reasons, including the expansion of NATO. But I think we're conflating that with evidence and a conclusion that meant that he cultivated Trump and intervened in the election. I think those two things are different.
Who else? Jimmy Dore.
That's how Russia hacked into our election. That's the accusation. And isn't that weird? They have every email, every text, every phone call that anybody in the United States and outside I've ever given or used or sent. Yet they still don't have, they can't provide us with evidence. So let's remember that's what this is all about. So when they say Russia hacked into our election, they mean they got John Podesta's emails and revealed. So that's, if anybody else did it, it would be called journalism. If anyone else did it, that's called journalism.
Ben Norton.
What this Russia's Gate scandal also distracts from is the fact that Trump is uniquely American. We constantly read article after article where all these pundits compare Trump to, leaders in the Soviet Union, the DPRK, China, Cuba, basically every country they dislike.
According to Cass Sunstein, he's a Marxist.
Yeah, it's so outrageous. But in reality, Trump is uniquely American. There is nothing Russian about him. He employed actually a pretty traditional right-wing populist strategy. This hyper-nationalism, scapegoating of immigrants, anti-Muslim bigotry, some racist dog whistling. He promised some nativist isolationist policies. This is not new. There's nothing Russian about it. It's very American.
Trying to think of more people.
Well, we don't have to, there's a lot of people out there, and I think there are a lot of people who are self-censoring because they're afraid of losing their jobs, and there aren't a lot of media jobs. But we don't have to have a pantheon of skeptics or anything. The point is—
No, but I'm just curious. I'm naming them because I realized when you said that, yeah, there are very few people. Plus, I want to give, people the chance to follow those people and know who they can turn to if they're looking for.
We can call ourselves,
Glenn Greenwald.
Say we're leftists. You can say we're Marxists, we're anti-imperialists, we're this or that. But, it really doesn't take all that.
No,
we
I know.
Just have to demand, we have to demand basic evidence.
Right.
And when you really, and it's hard, it's very hard to follow Russiagate. I mean, every week there's some new bizarre twist and turn. So it's really hard even for media professionals and people who follow politics to keep up with all the details. But if you really do look into it, and you put aside this kind of chauvinistic prejudice against Kremlin talking points,
Putinists, yeah,
then you can actually see it for what it is, and we are the ones who are being propagandized. We're being propagandized by our intelligence community via mainstream media. We're witnessing a quiet coup in American life.
It's oh so quiet. Shh, shh. It's oh so still. So peaceful until
Russia.
It was a Russian operation.
Russia and collusion.
A Russian meeting with a Russian spy.
Protecting our voting system from the Russia.
From the Russia.
What are his dealings with the Russian banks?
And it's absolutely terrifying because I don't know where it's going to lead.
Right. And no one seems to be looking at that, right? Again, I don't know what people think. Like, do they want to ramp up to war with Putin? Who do they want to take us to war with Putin? Even if, let's just say for argument's sake, and I know that you're making a very convincing case that this isn't the case, but let's say that there was some kind of influence on the election. Then what, right? We have, it's like, if that made a difference and we have stuff that the DNC failed to do or did that made a difference, why would on earth, I mean, we know why, because they don't want to look at their own mistakes, but why would you focus on the stuff done abroad and not the stuff that you have control over? It just seems so idiotic, especially when the stuff done abroad is with someone who, like, if Trump is this existential threat, unprecedented existential threat, and Putin is just very evil, then what do we want? We want them to go to war with each other?
Yeah. I mean, like, put your money where your mouth is, all right?
Yeah.
It's Pearl Harbor. It's 9/11.
And speaking this morning, the ranking Democrat on that committee, Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, issued a chilling assessment of President Trump's leadership.
Following attacks like Pearl Harbor, 9/11, U.S. presidents have rallied the country and the world to address the challenges facing the nation. Yet today, the current president of the United States still barely acknowledges the threat posed by Mr. Putin's repeated attacks on democratic governments and institutions.
It is an attack on our country with use of 21st century means. You look at the president's tweets this morning and try to imagine if Franklin D. Roosevelt, after Pearl Harbor, had gotten on the radio and said that Tokyo was laughing at us, to use a little less crude phrase than he did.
Congressman Jerry Nadler joins me now.
This is a very serious attack against the United States by a hostile foreign power, an attack against our election process, our entire governing process. And the president and the Republicans in the House, for that matter, refuse to do anything about protecting us from an attack. Imagine if FDR had denied that the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor and didn't react. That's the equivalent.
Well, it's a bit of a different thing. I mean,
no, it's not.
They didn't kill anyone.
It is very much on par.
Okay, if it's Pearl Harbor or 9/11, then we immediately have to go to war with a nuclear power, have World War III, and you know the opening scene of Terminator 2 becomes our reality.
Right.
I mean, let's say that Russia intelligence did this hack of the DNC, which I don't even think impacted
but just for
the election.
Sake, yeah.
Let's say they did it. First of all, it would be elegant compared to what we have done with Russia, where we turned Russia into Mad Max in the 1990s.
Former CIA director Jim Woolsey. We ever tried to meddle in other countries' elections?
Oh, probably. But it was for the good of the system in order to avoid the communists from taking over. For example, in Europe in 47, 48, 49, the Greeks and the Italians,
we don't do
CIA.
That now, though. We don't mess around other people's elections, Jim.
Nom, 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 nom. Only for a very good
cause.
Can
you do that? Let's do a Vine video on a former CIA director.
Only for a very good cause in the interests of democracy.
All right, thanks for being here. It's always great to see you.
It was basically systematic theft of state assets and the creation of an oligarchic mafia that resulted in Putin to restore order and stability and Russia's national interests. So we, in a way, created Putin. So that,
it's our specialty.
That hack is elegant compared to what we've done to Russia. 3.5 million excess deaths in the 1990s because Larry Summers and company were coming in and writing shock therapy economic policies. It's a crime equivalent to Vietnam that we committed against Russia, the Clinton administration. Okay, so there's that, but let's even leave that aside. For the sake of humanity, we still have to have detente and diplomacy with Russia.
Right.
So that's the big picture that we have to keep in mind.
Which no one is talking about, which is like incredibly irresponsible and stupid and short-sighted.
No, I mean, what you see from liberals, at least on social media, is this anger at Trump for not imposing more sanctions, even though new sanctions have been applied under Trump's watch. The Russian consulate in San Francisco was raided by the FBI. Mm. Russian diplomats were expelled from Washington, D.C. RT was registered as a foreign agent on the basis of nothing. And, you know, what else can be done?
Yeah.
Why should we sanction more? Why do we have to constantly ramp up hostility just to embarrass a president who is already doing a pretty good job of embarrassing himself?
Right. And it's also appeals to nobody who we need to convince. People who didn't get out to vote don't care about this. People who like Trump and voted for Trump don't care about this either. In fact, I think they see it probably makes Trump look even better to them because he gets to look like he's, you know, the victim of liberal persecution, establishment, insider politics, persecution. And they don't care about that. They're like, whatever, as long as he's giving us jobs, which he's not. But they get to see that.
How do you fuck up resisting Trump so badly? I mean, he's like the easiest guy to resist.
I know. It's a good question.
I think that, you know, after the shock of Trump being elected and the cry-ins and, you know, they put all the post-it notes around Union Square subway station and after all the kind of weird little therapy sessions.
Yeah.
Now people, the liberals in that culture – And when I refer to liberals, I'm not referring to any particular kind of political line.
Sure.
I'm referring to a sensibility.
Yeah.
They actually like that Trump's president because it's easier for them to tune in every Saturday night to SNL's opening monologue and laugh at Trump than to actually have to take ownership over a country that is in deep decline and be held responsible under, you know, another milquetoast centrist administration.
Right.
So, they've constructed this cult.
To hear the rest of my interview with Max, please become Patreon supporters. And to do that, just go to patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Again, that's patreon.com/The Katie Halper Show. Also, become Patreon supporters so that you can access our show notes, which links to great articles related to this topic. Thanks for listening to The Katie Halper Show. See you next week. The Katie Halper Show is produced by Florence Burrow Adams with support from Joshua Bregman. Our theme song is by The Ballet.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.